Welcome to the Geek Actually After Show for the 30th of October, 2010, episode 106, something like that. Anyway, 106? Yes, 106.
You're the one running the show.
Oh, man. It's late and it's hot. Leave me alone.
It says it at the top of the show notes.
Yeah, I'm trying to adjust dials at the same time as trying to read stuff. It's all just...
Well, you know what? Just get better.
All right. I'm Dave McVeigh, and I am joined in studio by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I'm still fine. I am even more fine now because I went back to the... caffeinated liquid, so I'm back on top.
Now, we have a stranger in the studio. And he's being very quiet at the moment, but we have Matt White, also known as Snake Oz for the chat room.
Everybody say hi, Matt.
Say hi, Matt.
Yeah, welcome aboard, dude. Jeez. It's nice to have you here. He's here to show us a cool new toy.
He is. He's here for show and tell. But before he shows us show and tell, now, I must say that the reason why he's not doing show and tell straight away is because it's charging. but we also have to say that this is our unstructured, unruled, let loose off the chain after show, which is kind of like a week in geeky where we get to just kind of talk about anything because it didn't fit into any other structure.
Yeah.
And once again, the after show is dominated by Delta Knight Insanity.
Yeah.
Delta Knight has sent through, as we said in the tech show at the very beginning of the day, scads and scads and scads of links. And I had to kind of parse my way through them. But I've got a few of them that were very much after show stuff. So we've kept a few of them for here. But before we get to his links, before we get to show and tell, we have been liking to start the after show with a kind of what we've been watching segment. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to go into a whole lot of detail because we may actually do it as a proper review later. But I just thought we should talk a little bit about The Walking Dead, perhaps.
Yeah, sure.
But we both had the opportunity to see The Walking Dead. And we won't actually say how we saw it. Just shh.
It got seen. That's all you need
to know.
It got
seen. Now that's all that needs to be said at this point. Now, what were
not dodgy at all.
Not dodgy at all, please. Don't sue me. All right, so what did you think of it?
Well, I mean, obviously, like we've already discussed the fact that I haven't seen all the comics, but I was actually the first one out of us to read the first bit of the comics. I did the first 30 in one big lot, and unfortunately, like anything full on, like The Wire or anything, if you lose your place, it's very difficult to find again, and you kind of have to start over. So I know this bit of the story very well because I've done it twice now, and I thought, number one, Frank Darabont did a great job, and I mean, I've already done a write up for it, which will be on the site very soon.
Absolutely, I can't wait to read it.
But one of the things that I find very important.
Delta Knight, relax, we're not spoiling anything.
Yeah, there's no spoilers. One thing that I like a lot is the fact that I think the main guy it's brilliant choice. Like, I think he handles the character very well.
But I thought, yeah, he embodied Rick. He was very good.
Yeah, no, Rick is very well cast. I thought the support cast is relatively good. I have a few issues with Rick's friend, who I always forget his name. Is it Shane?
Shane, yeah.
Shane, I don't like his casting. I trust Frank Darabont. I will say that straight out. And the man could literally, and I say this in my review, he could literally get a performance out of stone. And you know, it would be fantastic because the man is just a genius. But I don't like him as a character.
For the non-film savvy out there, Frank Darabont was the director of The Shawshank Redemption, The Mist, The Green Mile, The Majestic. Mm. He's a terrific director.
Yes, no, absolutely. One of the greats. And, like, I mean, I would absolutely trust him to direct anything, and I think he's done a brilliant job. The first episode is phenomenal. Some of the performances, especially from the key cast members out of the first episode, brilliantly handled.
I have to say, I'm a bit shaky at this point, but it is only the first episode, and we haven't seen a lot of her. I'm a bit shaky on the casting of Laurie at this point, his wife.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it is kind of that first episode thing that you get with TV that you don't get with comics. With comics, the person writing the comics and the person drawing it have a very decided style when they start. Whereas when you get real people involved, that person has to grow into the character, especially over a series. So I don't hate on the characters yet because I don't know.
I will say, though, the casting of Dale is perfect. He even looks like the cartoon, the comic book character, the old guy. With the beard. He looks like the comic book character. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, like, I mean, look, there are some really good choices. And I think the episode is handled well. Where they finish off is a nice ending. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really kind
of good.
Well,
it's a good point. Yeah.
I think that it really makes you want to watch the next one. It's horrible. It ends at just this point where you're just like, oh, come on, really? But look, it, like we were saying, well handled, brilliant. I don't like one thing, which is that they're giving Shane's character far too much personality. Mm. I find one of the important points towards the later period in the series is the fact that they don't give him much character. So you don't know what he's capable of, and you don't know what kind of a personality he has and how far he would have gone under the circumstances in this particular moment. And they're giving him all this, like, likable nature, even if he is a bit of a douchebag. He's like that guy that you know that's a little bit kind of misogynistic. You know, you're like, I like him. I'm never going to take any of his ideas.
But I guess you think about it, you kind of have to give him a little bit more depth for a live action thing, because we have to watch this actor do this. And if you write him completely as a, you know, bastard blank slate, then we're not going to have any emotional.
No, but he has all this backstory about his, and again, this is not a spoiler. Him and his wife and stuff like this. It's like you're not supposed to care at all about his previous past. It's about where things start from that first episode. And I think that's a real deviation that I'm not liking. Now, Celine actually brought up the interesting point. It's like, well, maybe that'll make it worse. Was that you or her?
No, this would have been Celine. I didn't say it, but she's got a point.
She's got a point. Like, maybe it'll make it worse because he does have a grounding.
Without spoiling, I think the resolution to the Shane character will be much more gut-wrenching if we know more about that character.
Exactly. And, like, I mean, it's one of those things where the performance is just a change. It's a deviation from the comic. And because it's so faithful, I think I noticed it more. But I really liked it. And to be honest, I liked, minus a few things that I think were a little overkill with the military, I loved the hospital scene at the start more than the comic book. Because I just felt that to wake up in that situation would just be absolutely mentally destructive. Like, your brain would explode with just trying to deal with what has happened. So,
great sequences, well put together. It's a question that's come up in the chat room. How are the zombies? The zombies are fantastic.
Absolutely.
Just fantastic.
Well, another thing that I did bring up in the review, which will come out, is the fact that the other thing is that people have to realize now, and we have to try and explain this to people before you go into the series, those zombies are a major part and a threat at all times in this show. It is about the characters, so don't expect it to be heavy onto that side. You know what I mean? It's like, it's more about the storyline of the people.
And what's interesting
is,
if you're a reader of the comic book, the zombies actually become less and less important as it goes on. So by the time, like, I'm all the way up to date. So I just read issue 78 the other day. And by the time you get to issue 78, I mean, the zombies are barely in it because it's about the survival. It's about the characters, and your light just went off.
Yeah,
oh, okay. Sorry, I'm distracted by the wonderful glowy thing.
Which we will talk about in a minute.
We'll talk about it in a minute.
Stay focused.
come back. I think it's being really well handled at this point, and I think it's going to be very interesting because I think the zombies will play a very big part in the early first season because that's how it is in the comic books. And as time goes on, it becomes about the human drama. The zombies are a backdrop.
Yeah,
and that's how it should play out. So we'll see how that actually goes. I'm a fan of slow moving zombies, George Romero style. That's very much the Walking Dead style. So I'm keen for it. I'm keen to see where it goes. First season is only 6 episodes. We'll see how it goes. Second season is already a go. So I have to say one last thing on this, and we'll move on. Is that I think it's an ambitious piece of television.
Yeah.
You don't generally see this level of gore, this level of intensity on basic cable.
I'm about to counter you because I found out this is actually an HBO show.
No,
I followed up on
AMC.
No, well, that's what I thought as well.
It says AMC in the credits at the opening. It says
I know,
AMC
it's in the corner, but apparently somebody was telling me it's been bought out by that.
No. It's actually AMC's website. It's AMC all the way. People who made Mad Men. It's AMC all the way.
Then it is very ambitious.
It's very ambitious. And this is the thing. It's AMC all the way. And this is the sort of stuff that you would expect to see on HBO or Showtime. Unless they have bought the second season. But the first season is definitely AMC.
And have I ever told you how much I hate Windows Internet Explorer?
Yeah, have you ever told me how much you hate that particular netbook as well? Yeah, every single week, perhaps.
We can keep talking. Don't look at me with the computer. Do your thing.
All right. Let's move on. Let's have a look at some of these links. And we're going to kind of go all over the place here because things will catch my eye as they go. But I've got to show you this very quickly. This was a television commercial. Delta Knight, thank you very much. This is Delta Knight Insanity, we know. I'm not going to thank you for every link. But I will say that this TV commercial that he sent through is genius. This is for Currys PC World Megastores in England. Now, I'm going to point out an observation about this ad afterwards. I don't want to spoil it beforehand, but something occurred to me about this ad. But watch this ad and see what you think of this.
Let's go home. We'll never get in. Huh? R2! Wait! You need a restraining bolt. Oh, goodness. R2-D2, where are you? Excuse me, sir. Have you seen my counterpart? How rude! A simple yes or no would have sufficed. R2! No! This is madness! R2! R2! Well, what would you suggest? Typical. Of course it was your fault. And there was so much more to see.
All right, so that's an incredibly clever and ambitious ad. It's very good, but the observation I made, because I watched this ad about four times, they didn't have to get Anthony Daniels in there. Every single line and sound effect is a recording from the Star Wars films.
I know. I actually thought they did. They actually got him in a recording.
No, I'm saying they didn't have to. So you're watching it, I'm sitting there going, very clever. All they had to do was have a guy in a suit, and then they just literally chopped up dialogue and sound effects from the movies. It's
you can actually
very
pitch up each section.
Each scene.
Yeah, exactly, each scene. Well, that's because all three of us are incredible nerds, and we've all seen them that much that we know that. But, anyway, the point isn't that. It's that it's really
It's a really awesome commercial. You know, and, you know, somebody, I think it was in the post that was attached to, it actually said, boy, George Lucas could learn something from that because it's better than the prequel films. Anyway, moving right along... I'm going to jump ahead right now because I really want to get to this Rubik's Cube. So we're jumping kind of around. But I got to say, first of all, this security flaw. I actually have my iPhone here. This one blew me away. And they've been talking about this all over tech shows all week. So unfortunately, Delta, you weren't the first time I heard about it. But the one thing that you did offer me was how to do it. Because in the article they actually talked about, some of us have passcodes on our phones to protect ourselves. A passcode is not going to protect your phone from being stolen, but the reason why you do a passcode is if somebody steals it, they're not going to be able to get your information off of it, all right? So that's why we put a passcode on it, right? Well, it turns out that's a pointless exercise because all you have to do, apparently, is when you get to the lock screen, if you go to the emergency call button down here and click on the emergency call button, dial anything, hit the call, and the minute you hit the home... Oh, damn, didn't work. Yes, it did. There you go. There's all my contacts.
Wow. That's awesome.
So,
very awesome.
There's the contacts. There's all the recent calls. There's the favorites.
But can you get out of your contacts into the phone proper?
No, you can't. That's the one thing you can't do. All right, so what we have discovered, I was playing around with this. You can't leave the phone section of it. But if you have sensitive contacts, let me say if you were like, you know, Steven Spielberg or someone like that.
Important.
Or somebody important, you have lots of important people, you're basically, people can have access to all of that information. So it is a bit, it's a little bit spooky that it is that easy to break that particular piece. The other thing that occurred to me, though, that is you can't get out of it. once you're in there, because it's basically been hacked. I found out how you can. If you go to keypad, go to make a call, and then back out, dismiss the call, you can actually get out.
Okay.
So you actually have to try and make another call because it's kind of locked into that call loop to get out of it. But anyway, so there's your security flaw. Apparently Apple is aware of this. And it is being patched in 4.2. So in
4.2, the wonderful no.
This is right. The 4.2 that will be for iPad and for iPhones, and where they're changing our rotation lock.
I have to admit, Dave, that it's just every day.
I like to hear this. Okay, hold on. I like what was I? Right. I was.
Yeah, you were right.
Aye.
That hurt, didn't it? So much.
I don't mind them doing it, but I think they should make it an option that you can see.
That was actually what somebody actually said. In software, it should be an option to toggle that. The reason it's not, and I can tell you why it's not, I've been thinking about this long and hard all week, thinking, why would they make this decision and why wouldn't they make it a toggle? And it hit me like a bolt of lightning. Why hasn't anybody thought of this? Mm. Nobody has talked about this. The reason they're doing it is because at the moment they have to release two different versions of iOS. They're releasing an iPad version and an iPhone version.
Yes,
with 4.2, they are making a unified version that is basically going to work on both iPad or iPhone. Mm-hmm. They don't want, because on the iPhone you don't have a rotation lock, they've got a mute button. So it's just being unified so that everything is the same. So that we don't have long delays like we're having right now. iOS 4.1 came out a month and a bit ago, and we don't get the iPad version until November. That's ridiculous how long that delay is. So they're unifying it. I would actually say, though, that don't unify it. They are two different devices.
I think it's a safer way to do things as well, because the phone is a very different device, and we should be planning it on two different formats.
They can't completely unify these operating systems. The calendar and the notepad and these things look different. They function differently.
Absolutely.
They have different features on them, so they can't unify them completely. I don't understand what Apple's thinking is here. We don't need a mute on the iPad.
Yeah.
You know? All you have to do is push and hold down volume, and it mutes. It's not like the iPhone that doesn't have that feature, you know? Exactly. They are different devices. Anyway, it pisses me off. But that's a 4.1 security flaw on the iPhone. Be aware of it. The passcode is not the safest thing in the world. It works better on the iPad.
Can you actually access the contacts, though, from that menu, or can you just call, like, when you click on someone's name?
You get to the contact folder. You can read all the contacts.
Okay, cool. That is terrible.
Yeah, you get into the contacts folder. And when I first heard about it, I tried to replicate it and couldn't get it to go, and I'm going, how does this work? And luckily, the article, which we have the link for in the show notes, actually tells you exactly how to do it. It's two button clicks. It's really easy to bust into this thing. All right, so I keep hitting my microphone today. Stop that. How about this? Here's a picture for you. See these lovely ladies? I just thought this was actually kind of nice leg warmers.
Why the yellow?
They're hookers.
Oh, nice.
Okay, well, apparently
that explains the terrible fashion sense. Right.
Apparently,
now,
in Spain, it is now made law that hookers have to wear safety vests.
Come again?
They have to wear the fluoro safety vest so they don't get hit by cars.
They're very stylish.
Aren't they just lovely? So, yeah, so if you're in Spain and you want to pick up a hooker, just make sure it's not a construction worker.
Well, dude, more importantly, isn't that awesome? It's like, at least you'll never, you know, miss one driving past. It's like they'll be they're bright yellow vests. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Very well done.
So, anyway.
It's like a uniform. It is. Like they have to wear a uniform to work now.
I think they should have the fluoro vest with just, like, prostitute written across them or something.
Or a name tag. How cool would that be?
Hi, I'm Sally. I'll be serving you tonight. May I take your order?
We can have a price on them and everything. It'll just be so easy.
Oh, then what they need is those little LED badges that actually have like the scrolling text, and they can have that price list, like the menu, you know, running by.
But I can just say that's really going to confuse foreign visitors to our things, because we get so many workmen now walking around in the fluoro vests and all that down the street.
Damn straight. Yeah. They're going to think they're construction workers and leg warmers.
Dude, that's wrong.
Oh, it is wrong. But do you want to know what's really wrong? I think we have to do this. I think we have to.
I don't know if I do.
Oh, no. Before we do this, for anybody out there, and I got to say, Delta, this is my favorite link of the day.
Okay. All right,
out of everything else you sent us this week, this one killed me. For anybody out there who wants to believe that the comic book guy in The Simpsons is not a real thing. All right? At BlizzCon this year, this video was shot, which actually shows a World of Warcraft geek talking to the panel. All right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, tell me this isn't the most awkward thing you've ever seen.
Hello. I just finished reading The Shattering yesterday. Good man. And I noticed something. It said that Falstad Wildhammer was going to be on the Council of Three Hammers, but in the beta, it's Kurdren Wildhammer, and Falstad is not in the game at all. What happened to him?
Isn't Falstad dead? From Day of the Dragon? No?
No, he survived, and in fact, he was the leader of Airy Peak in Vanilla WoW.
It's just so awkward! No, not poor guy!
Yeah, Alex, what's up with that?
Sorry, not poor guy. What
thanks,
did he say?
Thanks for pointing that out. We're gonna get that fixed. Yes.
Our bad.
Bet.
No, I'm sorry, you're wrong.
You know what? Say what you may about that guy, and I love those two dudes on stage because they're just lapping up the attention they just got then. But you know what? Fuck it, he won. He walked up and he went, this is wrong, and if that's not fixed, the world will rebel against him. Every nerd in every basement in the world knows that now.
There's a whole bunch of people also wearing red shirts, just like him, sitting there going, you're right.
They're all sitting there in the thing going, that better be fixed, because if that ain't fixed in the next patch, I'm cancelling my account. Which they won't, but, you know, good on them.
Calzin says BlizzCon Q&As are horrible and funny at the same time.
Dude, we went to Supernova. We know this.
if you doubt that at all, go have a look at the YouTube video we have of the fans and check out the guy in the middle. You'll know when you get to
him.
Yeah.
He's a really nice guy.
Really nice guy. No, really nice guy, but like that guy, really into his stuff. Probably just a little bit too much.
Needs to go for a walk, maybe once a week.
Are we ready?
What are we
this
doing?
This is a new section of Geek, actually. We are now going to start calling Delta's Weird Geek Food. Okay.
This is the reaction you get from us.
Okay. Delta's Weird Geek Food this week. How would you feel about live crabs in a vending machine? Just keep watching, guys.
I don't think I can turn away, Dave.
I hear the crabs being caught.
Yep. Looking very nasty.
Nice, tasty crabs. There's people eating the nice, tasty crabs.
Yeah, that's
but
what
how
you do
did they buy those tasty crabs, I wonder? I'm going to turn his volume down. We can't understand what they're saying anyway. Okay, so here we go. Here's the vending machine. Basically, live crabs. Here comes the creepy part. This is like something out of Alien. Money goes in. Okay. And he opens the packet. That's just freaky. I'm sorry.
That's intense.
Now, apparently, if the crab is dead, when you open it up, you get free ones. You get like three free ones or something like that as payment. Now, the way they do it is the fridge itself is set to a certain temperature, which puts the crab into hibernation.
Yeah.
And so when it comes out, it wakes up, basically.
I want to counter something because there was some people in the actual chat room that were saying that's so cruel. That's the way they do this anyway.
They
ship them cold and they're still alive. So I'm sorry, guys. If you think this has changed anything, it hasn't.
All it's done is put a vending machine
exactly,
in the equation.
Exactly. It's just taken out the need for the guy at the counter that smells bad, you know. Come on, we all know fish markets smell like crap.
Yeah, they do.
I'm actually kind of for that, in a way. It's like at least that way, you know. It's in a pack. I mean, I'm a little scared because I mean, like the average person's gonna like hurt themselves.
Can you imagine, like, you know, something goes wrong with the vending machine and like all these live crabs running around
the train station? Yes! That's awesome.
Or like those kids who climb up in the toy vending machine.
Well, this is given, school kids. Callison says this has given school kids access to live crabs.
And hilarity for me on YouTube. Yes, I agree, but let's just roll with that. I'm down.
All right, well, if that didn't gross you out, Maybe this will.
Oh, God. What's the best way to make a great thing awesome? Make it 128 times more massive.
How is that gross?
Introducing the world's largest gummy worm. A 2.5-foot-long, 3-pound feast of gummy candy.
Hey, guys, it's as long as,
snake.
My entire leg.
This 4,000-calorie snack has all the same details of a regular-sized gummy worm, like dual flavors in several different tasty combinations, such as cherry and blue raspberry, a ribbed body, and even a little smiley face.
Yeah!
Because of its incomprehensible size, our test groups often didn't know what to do with the gummy worm. Note, it is not a Rambo headband. It's not a jump rope.
How many doctors did it take? One.
It's not hypnotizable by a snake charmer. And it's definitely not a dance coach.
Am I doing this right?
That's sort of
Make
funny.
Make no mistake. The world's largest gummy worm is yours to be devoured.
I'm sorry, it's just gross. It's gross. Look, put it this way. I like gummies, right? I like snakes and stuff like that. Mm. But then you can go buy those King Cobra things, and it's too much. It's too much gelatin.
I disagree. You've just got to eat her over a longer period of time.
Oh, no, it's overwhelming.
You buy one of those things and you put it...
4,000 calories for one.
That's like 3 days worth of calories.
Three.
It looks like it'll give you diabetes and a heart attack, so sorry.
I reckon if you just snip it up into little bits, you know, it's. I mean, you may as well just go out and buy a packet of jellies, but, you know, good on
Northy, naughty, naughty, down Northy. He says, world's tastiest dildo.
He's kind of right.
Yeah, he is.
I'm sorry, that bit in the thing where they give it to the girl and they're like, didn't know what to do with it. It's like,
yeah,
you think you're sly, but we all know.
Yeah. Oh, so neither of those grossed you out this week?
No. Live crabs is kind of awesome, and like I said, it's going to be awesome. I just can't wait for those things where people go like that to check if their crab's alive.
Now, Delta Knight, you heard him. You have to up your game next week.
Wasn't as bad as chicken in a can.
Oh, nothing's as bad as chicken in a can.
I still haven't found anything worse than chicken in a can.
No, chicken in a can beats all, I'm afraid. Mm. All right, I think we've reached the end of the selected links. Is your thing charged?
Yeah, it should be charged.
Okay.
Just make sure I didn't miss anything here that we want to talk about really quickly. Make sure there isn't anything here we want to talk about. I've got notes here. Well, what's going on with my notes here, dude? All right, Josh is getting behind a camera so that we can actually have a look at this thing close up. Oh, that's right. No, there's this link. Problem with this link was I didn't actually agree with some of this, but we'll run through it really quickly. Basically, this was 10 geek sins that will get your geek card revoked. I'll see if you guys agree with this. Admitting you like iTunes?
Why is it? Why? What?
These are 10 geek sins that will get your geek card revoked.
Well, actually, I agree with that because I don't like iTunes, but I'm a PC user.
That's right. And we have to use iTunes doesn't necessarily mean we like it, although I have to say as a Mac user, I don't mind it. Not knowing the difference between binary and hexadecimal. Not knowing what MMORPG stands for. Loving your cable or telecom company.
These aren't geek-related things. These are just stupid things.
These are just stupid. Mm. Not knowing the name of the book that Blade Runner is based on.
That one, definitely.
Confusing Star Wars and Star Trek.
Oh, no,
that's just grounds for...
That's just a human problem.
Yeah, that's a human problem. Believing the free in open source refers to price. Defending Facebook for its privacy transgressions. taking something into Geek Squad to get fixed. That's a sin. Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like a genius bar, that sort of stuff, you know. Buying a paper computer book at Barnes & Noble. Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough. Only a couple of those. But anyway, all right. Let's talk about this device of yours. Now, the reason why Matt has come down here is because many weeks ago, in fact, the night we saw The Expendables,
yes,
I believe it was, he started talking to us about Rubik's Cubes. And you've actually got a Rubik's Cube app on your iPhone.
Yes, I do.
Which is pretty sweet. We had to play with that, and you can actually grab that off of iTunes.
About $5.99.
It's really sweet. It's really clever, you know, and so forth. And you actually told us about this amazing digital Rubik's Cube, and you're saying you were going to get one from the States. And we thought, oh, well, when you get this, you've got to bring this in and show us. And you sent us a link, and we had a look at it. And we thought, that is really, really sweet. Now you've got it. And we said,
I did.
And you said you got it. So he said, well, we're getting you on the show, and you're going to show us this thing. So Josh is going to punch the camera in, down here to the table. Hopefully, we can work out the camera.
I was thinking to lift it up.
Okay,
We'll get a shot of the stand.
Yep. Okay. There we go. Zoom in a bit, Josh. There we go. Beautiful. All right. So this is the digital Rubik's Cube. Tell us about it.
All right. Basically, it's slightly larger than your normal cube. Right? It has an electronic accelerator in it, right? Like similar to the iPhone.
Oh, the accelerometer. Yep.
Yep. And it's basically, when you turn it on, it lights up.
It's pretty. It's pretty.
Right? It does everything a normal cube does, with the exception that, well, it will scramble itself.
Okay. Scramble it. Oh, neat.
Sounds.
Yeah. You can change. Apparently, this is the original sound, so it sounds like a cube, but
yeah.
I don't think
so. No,
like
it's a bit digital, but yeah. It's all right.
And then you can change the sound to another funky sound.
So how long does it take to scramble up?
It does 40 moves.
Oh, there. Okay, cool.
All right. So, scrambled. Then it works exactly like a cube, except instead of rotating it, you just basically slide your finger along the top face.
That's very cool.
And it just rotates.
That's sweet.
The accelerometer will only let it work on the face that's sliding up, so by holding it down here, you don't make moves that you don't want to.
Oh, so the accelerometer takes that into account.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
neat.
It only
okay.
works on the top face. If it's got a hint button, that double-click the hint button, if you think.
That's something you don't get with an analog one.
Yeah. And then if you get really stuck with it, you just... And it will solve itself.
Ah, pretty. And it shows you kind of how many moves it's going to take to do it.
Generally, it takes longer. Like, recently there's been in the news that now that it's a known fact that you can solve any Rubik's Cube in 20 moves.
Can you?
No. No. But, like, the top players can do it. And that's apparently what they call in this god number. That, like, it's no matter what condition it is, 20 moves or less to solve the cube.
Oh, wow.
And you get nice little sound effects when it solves.
Oh, that's so sweet. I like that a lot.
Right? And then put it back in the stand. And it becomes a little nightlight. And it just...
See, that's what went off when we were doing the beginning of the show. It went dark because it was going off.
Yeah,
right?
So for 15 minutes, it'll sit there and it'll scramble and solve itself.
Wow, that is so cool. For our audio listeners, because it's so neat and it's such a compressed little section, what we'll do is we'll lift the video from this and we'll put it on YouTube. So we've just got that little bit on YouTube so that you guys can see this, because it's a really, really cute thing. Somebody in our chat room has just said, what is it? That would be awesome at a rave party, says IMR Space. Delta Knight says, laugh out loud, high-tech old toys. It's so true. That is so neat. So what's that going to set you back if you wanted to buy that?
Okay, I picked this up from the States for $150.
Right.
And that, well, that's, I was lucky enough, it was given to me as a birthday present. But then when I was, because it's from the States, it's got slightly different power conversion and all of that. When I was in Dick Smith's near my place, the big power centre, they had it in there with the Australian adapter for $159.
Wow. This shows you our exchange rate is pretty much on parity at the moment.
And the guy there told me that they have dropped it down from $400+ because they're trying to get rid of them.
$400+?
What? What does it do? Does it like unfold itself and make me food?
But like when I was searching around on the net looking at them there was a place over in North Sydney Way somewhere that online was about $300, but that was probably when our exchange rate was down a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. But then I was...
It's probably one of those really high-tech geek stores, you know, the ones that just charge millions.
And the problem
dollars
is, for... and of course, the problem is that you can't even go to a place like Amazon and buy it because they won't ship electronics.
Mm.
So you have to know somebody there who can order it and send it over to you.
Yeah, well...
And that sucks, you know?
This was bought through the online Rubik's store. And you can buy all the Rubik's Cube puzzles. And that because they've got.
So how many Rubik's Cubes do you have?
I have this one. Mm-hmm. I have the normal cube.
Mm-hmm.
I have a new one that's called the Rubik's 360, which is actually a sphere. And you've got to use gravity and all that to get the balls out from the inner sphere to the outer sphere.
Oh, God, my head hurts already.
Which is very hard. I've solved it once, but that was through more shaking it than solving it properly. And then I'm trying to track down the new cubes, which are 4x4 and 5x5, which I think would just be impossible to solve.
God, the combination.
3x3 is hard enough to solve.
Jesus. For everyone in the chat room that's going mental about this, I was wiping the screen so that I could see it better.
Sure you were.
Yeah, you know what, whatever. I don't need to justify myself. And you forgot, of course, then there's the version you have on the iPhone as well.
Yes.
Which is
the iPhone. So how long have you been vaguely obsessed by Rubik's Cubes?
Not that long. It was more that we were toy shopping for one of my nephews. And I just saw them in the shop, and I thought, my God, I used to love these as a kid. So I bought one. And then it's just sort of brought back all the childhood memories. And I thought, yeah, I've got money now. A bit to burn. Why not? Grab the collection. It's just great as well when you're sitting down bored one day.
I've got to admit that I've actually never been able to solve a Rubik's Cube. I had one in high school when they first became huge, because Rubik's Cubes became huge in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
And I was in high school at the time, and everybody had one. And I could never solve it. I used to love them. I love the feeling of the original Rubik's Cubes, because they had a really good, strong build quality to them and everything. They were great fun to play with, but I just could never solve them.
I am an ADD child, so I could never sit down long enough to actually focus on one. I'd be like, chick, 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 oh, look, and I'm gone. It's like, yeah, no, so I've never really bothered either. Yeah. Which is odd, because I love puzzles and can stay focused on puzzles for hours, but I think it's something to do with having to find what I'm looking for. I don't know. It just never sat with me. I've always been really impressed with people that can, though, because it's just like, to me, they're just head exploding.
But isn't it funny, the little things that we collect? And that's something, let me just stress this right now. Don't take a geek to a toy store.
Okay? I was thinking that exact thought when you mentioned I went to a toy store, and I was like, First mistake. Right,
I take my son to Toys R Us, and I'm looking at the toys. I think
you're sitting in the puzzle section, just going, "These things are amazing. Screw I want puzzles. All of
I'm
them.
Looking at the Lego. I'm looking at the action figures."
And the worst thing is, you're an adult, so you can afford it all.
I know. You sit there and go, "I have my credit card in my pocket."
It's like, I don't have to remortgage my house for this gimmick. I'll have hours of fun.
So yeah, the first mistake: don't take a geek to a toy store. But it's like, you know, I've got this. And funnily enough, the things that you collect, I mean, you started this collection of Rubik's Cubes and you're going to continue grabbing everyone you can, right?
Yeah, I'll just basically collect
them. And if you look at the rack behind you, we have this collection of Mr. Potato Heads growing. And the funny thing is, I've never bought one. I've never bought a Mr. Potato Head. My mother decided to buy me a Mr. Potato Head one year, and I loved it, because it's this anniversary edition original Mr. Potato Head. It's kind of hidden back there. Mm. But because I loved it, every birthday and every Christmas, they buy me another Mr. Potato Head. So I've got this collection of Mr. Potato Heads. Great. And I love them. I love my Mr. Potato Head. It's not something I would go out.
Ones too, except I don't have the ghost.
You don't have the ghost? No, the ghost is cool. It glows in the dark.
Yeah. the Nerf guns was a phase I went through, just like Delta Knight, where I was just obsessed with. I got one, and it was a little pissy one that we actually bought to play in my current workplace just to shoot at each other because we were that bored. And then over time, it became a warfare between us and the toy store four stores down, where they would basically come in and raid our store, the three of them with Nerf guns. So we decided we needed to get ammo. So basically four of us bought different size, different shaped guns. And then it became about customization. And we started pulling out the things that would stop the bullets from firing as fast so that they would fire even further. And then started getting hard-nosed bullets. And yeah, it's just nerds just have an obsession with getting things and then getting more of them.
That's right, absolutely. Yeah. We have there's a saying that says that you're not a collector until you have 12 of something. That's not a hard thing for a nerd. Us geeks go, I've got that one. Let's have 12 more.
I'm a collector of technology. I think there is enough technology in my house to do any application you can possibly think of.
Aren't we all collectors of technology? I mean, technology, anything tech is kind of fun. I love this. If it wasn't so expensive, I would buy one. But I think even $150 is probably, I don't think my wife would go for it.
Mm.
No, I don't think my wife would go for it, but it's really pretty. I like it. Just the idea that it would sit there lighting up like that on the table while it's charging is just so cool. I gotta tell you. I like the fact, I'm gonna just throw this in here in our chat room. Where is it? There was one comment here that I just thought was really cute. Was who is it that said? Rogue Shire says, my wife drops me off there while she's doing the shopping.
No, that's a terrible idea. That's like how my nerve problem started at the time. Dude, but you know what? Just on the nerve thing for a second, because Delta Knights, I'm hitting them up about all these things. It was possibly one of the greatest moments of my life because I broke the trend. We all had handguns. And basically, there was this one day where they've come screaming around the corner, all brandishing different sized handguns, and Josh just pulls a rifle up over the table. I've never felt that awesome in my life. You just see everyone just go, fuck, and just run as far away as they can.
We had a little bit like that.
Oh, it's because I didn't put it on charge properly.
I see. It's yelling at him. There we go. We had a moment like that in the self-aware, right? We had a bit of a thing like that going in the late 80s where we got obsessed by water pistols at one point. This was at the time of the Super Soakers were coming along. And so I got, and I actually managed to find, and I've never seen them since, but I actually managed to find a water pistol that was backpack driven. So it was like a rifle that had a hose to a backpack, and you pumped it up like one of those pesticide things. So the backpack was pressurized, and this thing was like a fucking fire hose. It's like, let's go play water pistols. Let me show you what I bought. But then my uncle actually, and Rory, if you're listening, you'll know who you are. My uncle defeated us all by learning that the best water pistol in the world was a bucket and a bicycle pump. You put the bicycle pump in the bucket of water, pull back, which sucks all the water into it, take it up, and it's like a shotgun. And you just
No, I found it would always escalate to the point where someone would just grab a bucket. That was it. And at that point, there was no way of winning, because it was like you'd run around the corner with your gun and someone would just hit you with like 1 liter of, or like 5 liters of water. It would just be like smack.
Well, that was
like,
that's the problem with water fights as well, though. Once you're a certain level of wetness, the game kind of finishes because you're already soaked.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of over after that point. According to Delta Knight, says my uncle had a real firefighting backpack.
Oh, Jesus.
All right.
And you just want to go 3 meters backwards. That's where you win.
Do you know what the other thing I used to love playing with when I was a kid, and I don't even think you can buy them anymore. If you can, I'm going to go out and buy one. Just made me think about it. Spud guns. Do you guys remember spud guns?
Oh, dude, I think they're illegal now.
You get a potato and the spud gun break off the little bit and fire the spud. Those were awesome. And the spud guns that actually had the hammer on the back, so you could actually put a cap in them. So when you fired them, they would actually cap while firing the potato. No. They were cool.
Yeah. Back in the old days.
The old days. Can you get spud guns?
I don't think so.
I think I remember too many people got something.
Eyes out by bits of potato.
Eyes out by bits of potato.
On that note, I think we should wrap this up.
That's it.
I think that just
jokes
about
got
sums
too
up.
Lame.
Oh, look, my goddamn security lock's going on again. Here we go. All right. Well, if that's the case, let's finish up for the day because it's hot in here and I'm tired and you know, we're done. I want to say thank you very much for joining us, Matt. That was it's nice when we get little show and tells coming in.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. That's fantastic.
It's also nice to have him, you know, around again. He lives so far away.
I know, you live miles away from us. So
drive.
Yeah.
Just to let you guys in the chat room know, Matt's joined us on a couple of our unofficial Geek Actually movie fan club.
Yeah.
What are we calling it now? I've
unofficial
lost track.
Geek Actually movie club.
There you go. And he's joined us on a couple of those, but you've changed your work night, so it's made it a little bit difficult.
Yeah,
but
I work nights now, so it makes it hard.
And if anybody who's listening is interested in the Geek Actually unofficial movie fan club, whatever. We go see a movie every Thursday night. Well, pretty much every Thursday. We missed a couple here and there, but every Thursday night, because we have to see a film for the show. And Josh and I kind of went one day on Facebook, well, what the hell? Let's just invite everybody. Mm. It's just, you know, a pay as you go. It's nothing special. We just all meet up so we can talk about the movie. And it's kind of fun to go in a crowd sometimes. When we went to see Kick-Ass, I think there was about 13 of us. So it was kind of fun. So we always post up in our forum what film we're seeing, what session we're seeing. Usually it's at the Ritz because it's local and it's cheap. But sometimes we've had to stray away from that. So if you are in the Sydney area and you feel like you want to come and join us for one of these nights, check the forum and you'll find out the session. Just come along. There's no formality to it at all.
And they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, they are a lot of fun because we generally stand around outside the movie afterwards and chit-chat about the movie. And it's good because sometimes we can convince each other. We've come out of the movies where one of us
Or at least it's nice to hear someone else's point of view on it.
That's right. So we come out and we can talk about it where we might be feeling one thing, and then after talking to somebody, you go, actually, maybe I do see that point of view. Mm. So it is kind of fun to talk about it. All right. Now, let's just wrap this up and say feedback@geekactually.com is our email address. You can write to us, agree with us, disagree with us, got something you want to show off, got some show and tell you want to tell us about, something special has happened, want to send us links, Delta, slow down.
Maybe not, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. All right, so feedback@geekactually.com, or we have a voicemail line, 02-801-13167, and I got so excited because we had a voicemail this week, and I went, voicemail, and I listened to it, and it was just the woman from the PR company saying, we want the Nokia phone back. So I was like, no, that's not fair. I thought we had a voicemail. But it works. So the voicemail line works. All right?
Yeah. Was she nice about it?
No. It was just a courtesy call.
Yeah.
I don't know why she didn't call my mobile, which is the number I gave her. But for some reason, she decided to look for our Skype line, which I thought was kind of interesting. Anyway.
She's listening to the show.
I guess that's what it means.
Perfect point.
Anyway. Perfect point. We love you guys. You did well by us. Thank you. Geek Actually swag, T-shirts, cups. All sorts of good stuff. We've already put in our order. We're getting some stuff soon. We'll be able to show it off here on the show. cafepress.com.au/geekactually. Facebook fan page, facebook.com/geekactually. And don't forget, this is actually the after show. We have two real shows which have structure. Unlike this one, which is kind of a mess. Film Actually and Tech Actually, and you can find those all on iTunes. And remember, all of our back episodes, because iTunes only holds 10 to 20 episodes, depending on what the feed is, all of the back episodes, all 106 of them, going right back to the very beginning, can be found at geekactually.com. So if you're ever looking for older episodes, that's where you're going to find them. Mm-hmm. And this is, as we say, a long recording day. We go live.
Yeah.
All shows are recorded back-to-back. Tech Actually, Film Actually, then the after show, all back-to-back, starting at 12 p.m. every Saturday, Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, UTC+11, geekactually.com/live. Come and check us out. Join the chat room. They're going crazy in there today. I saw Red last night. Oh, yeah, we're going to see Red. We're going to go see Red. We're going to review it next week. Yep. Don't spoil.
Yep. No spoiling.
No spoiling. We were supposed to do it this week, but then it all got too much having two films. We really wanted the Social Network to take front and center. So now, a couple of our friends, Movie Fan House, Real Junkies, find them on iTunes. We're not going to give them you. Listen to Film Actually. We give them huge plugs. WeekendRonan.com for Real Junkies. MovieFanHouse.com for the Movie Fan House. And, of course, Josh, what can you tell me about this?
RawDLC.com for everyone listening or watching. We are a games website. We go out every week at Tuesday, 8 p.m., similar kind of system as this. We go out with a live show that has a chat room. Join in and join the fun. You can also find us on iTunes under DLC. And we have a whole bunch of people that join in every week to fill the chat room and be as crazy as they can possibly be, which is where I will flick over to Snake, who will explain the rest of that.
Okay, yeah. Basically, the DLC crew are usually in both shows. I can see a few members still here, yep. And we're also in DLC. You can find us links off the DLC site, mm-hmm. or you can go directly to dlccrew.com.
Maybe you should just explain for the...
That's our
for
forums.
Explain what DLC crew is. Yes.
We run the forums for Josh's site,
right?
Yep.
Basically, where we started off as on a separate site, but when that site closed down, Josh and Dave were kind enough to take us under the thing, so we do the community forums for them.
Now, you hear this chat room? We have a forum. Who's going to run my forum?
You're going to have to randomly pick out a couple of people.
Where's the Geek Actually crew? Come on.
We'll get there. But the whole thing about it is, guys, they also run game events and so on and so forth, and that's really cool, so they actually have their own separate thing. Unfortunately, the one game which is usually played is the one game I don't currently have, because I am on Battlefield Bad Company 2. And we are currently coming towards the end of the leaderboards.
Yes, we've just ran our October leaderboard. I think it was last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We've got one more round left, which I think will be the last Saturday of November. Top of my head, it's the 27th.
Yeah.
If you hit me up, Snake Oz on PSN, or jump in the forums and thing, you can more than welcome join us. But you guys are donating a whole heap of prizes for the winners. And that, and
more honestly, Dave than me. Dave gets a lot. Dave gets a lot more free stuff than I do. But good on him. But yeah. So can I just because I got to ask. I know this is your show, but I've just got to ask: who's currently sitting in the top two spots?
Moopy Doo is sitting at number one now,
right?
And Psydog is sitting at number two.
Go Psydog!
Yeah, 9 points difference between
them. Actually, Psydog, there's somebody who we haven't seen in the chat room for a long time.
His time thing problem or something now.
He used to be in the chat room a lot. Yeah. He hasn't been in lately.
But so it's just interesting. I don't get the update as often as I would like, so it's nice to hear it, and also just nice to plug it. Because
now, Delta Knight, that doesn't help. I asked, where's my Geek Action crew? He says, I would be, but I don't like Forbes. that really doesn't help.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah.
All right, so that's all of our plugging, I think. Do you have anything else? No?
Yeah. No.
Sorry. Ooh,
no.
Boobs. Sorry. Sorry, my desktop wallpaper. he caught me off guard.
That's it. We're done.
We're done. Let's get out of here. Oh, one last thing we should just always say because, he's done such a good job. Josh Spencer, attackninja.blogspot.com. And the other reason I say is because I love that domain.
Yeah.
I just like to say that domain a lot. He did all our artwork, and he is well worth checking out his stuff because he's just very talented. And on that note, I think we're going to get out of here. I'm done. You guys done?
I'm really hot, and I'm sweating like a
motherfucker. All right, let me just make sure before I sign out here, because I often go, let's do it, but I've got two sets of credits on everything. Okay, here we go. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll catch you all next week. We'll be right back.